We want to say welcome to you and thank you for joining us. It's a privilege to have you here with us. And if you are visiting with us and you haven't filled out one of our visitor cards, we'd like to have a record of your visit with us. So if you could just slip your hand up real quick and we can get a visitor card to you and get a record of your visit with us. If you're visiting, just slip up your hand real quick so we can get that to you. All right. Right up here, Joel. All right. Well, this morning, it's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? Isn't it great to have some good weather and be able to enjoy being outside? Makes up for the long winter we had, right? Well, some of you don't know about that, but all right. Well, we do have several announcements to go through, and so if you'll take your bulletin, first of all, we have a special ministry, and this will be a great service. We have purchased for the next 3 months. Everyone who moves new into the area, we've purchased their addresses, and they're already printed out on labels. And what I'm looking for is someone to come in and stuff the envelopes with a letter that we've written to welcome them to the area and invite them to our church, and then slap the address onto the church envelope, and then put a stamp on that envelope and get that put in the mail. And so there are 114 that moved in last week that we have, or last month that we have the addresses for. And so if you would like to be part of that, go to the Welcome Center, and they have everything there except for the stamps. So you'll have to see me to get the stamps. I still have to go purchase them. But we'll get those stamps to you right away as well, and it'd be great for you to be part of that ministry, just letting the people who have moved to this area know about our church. Men's softball, if you have not turned in your money for the jerseys, please see Brian Cooper or he's going to bench you. And Secret Sisters are meeting June 2nd, that's tomorrow night at 5:30, so Secret Sisters, don't forget about that. On Thursday, this coming Thursday, we're taking a trip to Cornwell's Turkeyville. And it says here in the bulletin, seniors and whoever else. So if you see the word seniors and you quit reading, no, keep reading. And whoever else. If you are free on Thursday, they're meeting at 9:30 a.m., and we will return at 1:30 p.m. Bring money for lunch and any shopping that you would like to do at Turkeyville. And if you have any questions, you can see Don or Judy Kilburn. Ladies Garden Club meets next Saturday at 10 a.m., so ladies, keep that in mind. Graduation open houses are there in the bulletin, and we're going to talk about our graduates again in just a moment. And there's a bridal shower luncheon next Sunday immediately following the morning service. If you are planning on attending and have not RSVP'd, make sure that you RSVP. And all the numbers where you can RSVP are there in the bulletin. Men, we're having a prayer breakfast on June 14th at 8:30 a.m. at the Old Country Buffet. And so men, I just want to encourage you to be out for that. We have a craft fair on June 14th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And actually, we've had a really good response from this. I'd like to encourage you to come out. Be a nice, friendly face, and we're going to be handing out some church literature at this, as well as people selling crafts and things like that. We also have a drive-in movie night on June 28th, and I'd like to encourage you to invite people out for that. We're going to have some tickets made up. Those tickets will be in the Welcome Center hopefully next week, and it's going to be a great night, lots of food. And in order for us to have lots of food, we need you to help sign up to bring that food. There is a list of food needs at the Welcome Center as well. And small groups will begin in 2 weeks on the 22nd, or in 3 weeks on the 22nd of June. And we're still working out a couple of the locations. And that will be up online. You can sign up online or you can sign up next Sunday at the Welcome Center for which small group you would like to be part of. And for the rest of the announcements, make sure you read through your bulletin. This morning, we have the privilege to recognize our graduates. We're going to specifically recognize our graduates from high school this morning. And so I would like to call our high school graduates. I see them both here. If Sarah and Caleb could come up here. And while they're coming up here, while they're coming up here, now they're up here, so There is a mathematician, a physicist, and a biologist who went into a building, counted to make sure that it was empty because it was going to be demolished. And so they finished up the count, and there was nobody inside. So they go across the street and wait. After some time, two people enter. A few more minutes pass, and three people exit. The physicist said, "We must have miscounted." The biologist said, "They must have reproduced." The mathematician says, "All right, when one more person enters, the building will be empty." All right, not very many mathematicians in here. Well, here's a little something you may be able to use in the future, Caleb and Sarah, but this is a thank you letter, and it's dated June 1st, 2014, and it says, "After careful consideration, I regret to inform you that I am unable to accept your refusal to offer me employment with your bank. This year, I have been particularly fortunate in receiving an unusually large number of rejection letters. With such a varied and promising field of candidates, it is impossible for me to accept all refusals. Despite your company's outstanding qualifications and previous experience in rejecting applicants, I find that your rejection does not meet my needs at this time. Therefore, I will initiate employment with your firm immediately following graduation. I look forward to seeing you next week." So that may help you in the future. It may not. But on a serious note, we are very proud of you for getting all the way through high school. It's 12 or 14 of the best years of your life. And at this time, I'm going to have Mike Nishizawa is going to come and make a presentation. While Mike's grabbing a microphone, Sarah and Caleb, in just a minute, we're going to have you just share what your future plans are, okay?
Just so you're prepared for that. Okay, so my name is Mike, if you don't know me. I have the privilege of teaching Sunday school at this church to teenagers. And so both of these young people I have known since they were little tiny. Caleb was Pam Sparky when she taught in Awana here many years ago. One of the things that I always challenge them to do is to own their own faith, okay? So one of the things that we're really adamant about is that we can't teach you the Bible in 52 weeks a year. It's just not going to happen. You can't do that. It needs to be a continual process of study and work and diligent dedication to studying and reading and to learning about God and to soaking his word into your heart and into your minds. And so one of the things that we like to do is sort of a tradition. We talked about traditions this morning in Sunday school. And one of the traditions that we like to do at church here is to present you guys with a study Bible, a good study Bible that provides help for you along the way. And so we have one for you, Sarah. These are Life Application Study Bibles. And one for you, Caleb. Now, Caleb, you can't leave it in class. Okay? You have to take it home with you. Okay. Congratulations. Congratulations. Oh, I'm going to pray for you guys. All right. We're going to pray for them. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that that Caleb and Sarah have been in our student ministries here. And we know that they're not leaving us or, not necessarily going away and that their home is always with us. But Father, as they go on into this commencement of the next chapter of their lives, Lord, that you would go with them. Lord, that you would always just remind them of their need for you, that you would fill their hearts with the gospel, that they would take that to wherever they go. And we just thank you for the opportunity to minister to them over their teenage years and as children. And we just thank you for all that you bless, that you've blessed them with. We pray that they would just go out and represent you greatly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. If we could have, could I borrow that microphone again, Mike? All right, Caleb, why don't you go first and just share with us what your plans are.
My future plans are I plan on attending Baker College at the end of September to get my associate's degree in baking and pastry.
All right. And Sarah?
My plans are to go to Kellogg Community College for like 2 years to get my associate's degree in medical laboratory technician.
All right. Thank you. All right. How about one more big hand for Sarah and Caleb as they head back to their seats? Let's have a word of prayer here together as we open our service. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to celebrate accomplishment. And Lord, both Sarah and Caleb have accomplished something in their life. And Lord, this is one of many things that they will accomplish. And Lord, as they look to you for guidance, we know that you will provide it because that's who you are. That is your character. That is your nature. And Lord, we love that about you. And I pray that both Caleb and Sarah will be encouraged in their opportunities that they have as they both seek further education, that you will use this further education to provide good employment that will take care of them and for their future families for the rest of their lives. And so, Lord, just thank you so much for the opportunity this morning to celebrate what they have done. But also, Lord, this morning our hearts are heavy as we've lost a good friend and a good man, and that Greg Straka has gone home to be with you. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with the entire Straka family. Lord, especially be with Cindy as they have to make plans now for a service. And Lord, just all the details. We just pray that you'd be with the family with this, with the sudden turn of events. And God, we know that you are good. And so we thank you that we can trust you to help during this time of need. Now, Lord, as we spend this time together as a church this morning, as we have an opportunity to remember what you have done for us in communion, I just pray, Lord, that our hearts would be full, knowing that our God is always for us because you sent your Son to die for our sin. Thank you for that wonderful gift. Lord, to you be all the praise and glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. All right, if everyone could find their seats. Thanks. If everyone could find their seats and go ahead and sit down. And if the choir could find their way back up onto the stage. We like to have communion the first Sunday of the month to keep us ever mindful of what our Lord has done for us. And let me just tell you something that's pretty neat about that. I've gotten a couple calls or talked to a couple people that have said, are we doing communion this week? And I'll say yes, and they'll go, oh, I better get that right. And you know, that's a good thing. Because we should actually live every day that way, but the Lord told us I'm just going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. what Paul communicates, what the Lord taught the night that he served the first communion with his disciples. He says in verse 23 in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." The goal of our Lord Jesus Christ is that each one of us could come and take communion through the gift of Jesus. The problem is, not everybody's worthy. And the reason that some would not be worthy would be because they have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Not one of us here are worthy to take communion because of our good works. And not one of us here can come to communion hoping that communion will bring us closer to God. The truth is, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the grave. And it's his work that he did that makes us worthy to take communion. But if you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you should not take this. Because the next verse goes on to say, For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. See, this morning, what we do here, this is not just a ceremony. This is not just a game. This is one of the most important events we can do as a body together here on earth. We are remembering the Lord's death. Now, how do we remember it? We remember it through the bread. His body was broken for our sin. We remember it through the cup. His blood was shed to forgive us our sin. And if we can come to this table with open sin, if we can come to this table and know that we have a bad attitude or that we have unforgiveness in our heart towards someone or something else, then we're not showing what we should show in communion. Because you know what this show, it's not anybody who takes it this morning, you should already have trusted Jesus Christ. If you haven't, instead of taking communion this morning, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and let him save you. But if you have been saved, you should come to this table this morning, not only just in eating the bread and drinking the cup. You should come to communion with a heart that remembers the death of the Lord. When I think about what my Jesus went through for me, I can't harbor ill will toward anyone else because while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. I can't live with unconfessed sin because I think about the fact that while I'm a sinner, Christ died for me. And so if there's something in your life that you have been unwilling to confess, this is why we take time to examine ourselves, so that we can confess it to the Lord. 1 John 1:9, if you haven't memorized it, great verse. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'd like to invite the men to come forward to distribute the Lord's table, our deacons. And as the deacons come up to distribute it, there are two cups, the stacked. Make sure you grab both of the stacked cups. And then after a word of prayer, we'll all take the elements together. And The choir is going to be singing a song called Broken for us. And boy, it just reminds us of what our Lord did for us in his death on the cross. And so, Brian, could you ask a blessing? Clayton is the one that's supposed to this morning. You'll see him shuffle because whoever stands closest to me has to pray. So you now know the secret. So, Clayton, if you could ask a blessing on the bread.
Shadows surrounding the tomb, faithful gather with whispers of reverence in that upper room, not knowing what the night held in store or what lie ahead for. For this reason, he came. His heart was broken.
His arms were open. The bread and the cup, his mercy and love, offered so lavishly.
Jesus was broken.
remember as a young man, actually a little boy, sitting in family devotions at night, and my dad read through the whole account that night of when Jesus died on the cross. And I was probably in junior high. And I remember my little brother Jared. It must have been the first time that it hit him what happened. And he was just crying. And my dad said, "Jared, what's wrong?" Jared said, "I am so mad right now." And my dad said, "Why?" He said, "I want to jump on my tricycle and ride to Israel and get those soldiers." And remember, my dad looks at my little brother and says, "Jared, it was your sin that did that to Jesus. But you know, he was broken for us. Jesus has no anger toward us that he had to die. All he has is forgiveness." Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this do in remembrance of me." Bo, could you ask a blessing on the cup? Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And at this time, we'll invite the worship team to come up and lead us in some songs to sing about what our Lord has done for us.
Well, good morning. It is nice to be back, even though it was kind of hard to leave our oceanfront view of the Caribbean. But anyway, would you stand with us, please? Not that I'm bragging or anything, but anyway. We actually have a birthday today. It is Joey's 21st birthday.
All right, John.
Are there any other birthdays this week at all? Or anniversary?
It's ours. 18 years.
Right. Let's go ahead and sing Happy Birthday a cappella. Okay. Give me a note or something, Renee, will you?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Great thou art.
shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art, and sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, and sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art.
One day when heaven is filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forward to be born of a virgin, he dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. And one day he's coming, oh glory.
sins far away. Rising, be justified.
Oh, the cross.
Lord, I thank you for the cross.
You may be seated. At this time, we're going to dismiss the children for children's worship, and then we're going to ask the ushers to come forward. Mass Exodus, isn't it? It's awesome. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son, Jesus Christ, some 2,000 years ago to this earth to pay for the sins of all humanity. Please, Lord, be with this offering. Please, Lord, be with Pastor Thad as he comes to present the word you've laid upon his heart. This we ask in your name. Amen.
Night to fall, the old man's coming to call, but you don't see the writing on the wall. You'll never step out in the light, he's just biding time. And as you slumber, he's gonna come and take it all, waiting on the night to on the night to fall, the old man's coming to call, but you don't see the writing on the wall. You'll never step out in the light, he's just biding time. And as you slumber, he's gonna come and take it all, waiting on the night. The night to fall.
Well, this morning, I hope you are ready for whatever the Lord has for you, whether it's the next step of life or if it's his return and his calling you home. I know the last 18 years, I've been blessed to be married to Rachel, and she survived 18 years with me. She deserves some kind of a plaque or something. It's been a wonderful marriage. Our first week of marriage, we were on honeymoon. We got back. We started right away serving the Lord together down in Florida. And we went through some hard times there. And while I'm talking, why don't you take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 14. And we went through some hard times down there just because things weren't as they were told to us that they would be. And so I'm going to give you six things that we did that helped us. We're going to look in Acts 14, six things that the Lord helped the apostles with, six things they did. And hopefully by the end of this service, you can leave here and go, you know what, when I face hard times, I've got at least an outline, some things that I can put into place in my life that I can do that will help me through these times. So when we got down to Florida, the pastor told us, he said, listen, you need to find a place to stay, which wasn't part of the agreement. So we started looking in the classifieds. And before we did that, we realized if things aren't the way that they're supposed to be, you can't look to man because man will fail you. Has anybody here ever been failed by an individual? If you're not raising your hand, you just are oblivious to life, okay? Because we've all been failed by other humans. And so what we did is we looked to the Lord. And we went and we just started talking to the Lord and saying, Lord, what do you want? And, you know, when you start to face that first onset of disappointment, of discouragement, that first sign of it, look to the Lord. So we did. We cried out to the Lord. We asked him for wisdom. We said, God, what do you want us to do? And then God said, stay. But we didn't want to stay with the pastor, so we started to locate a healthy environment. You know, some people, they stay in an unhealthy environment. They stay in a place where they continue to have, there's a song we used to sing in our youth group when I was growing up, and it says, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. And one of the verses was, the places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And, you know, there needs to be a change sometimes. We need to locate a healthy environment. And for some of us, that means new friends. For some people, that's don't go hang out with cousins or people that are going to be a destructive influence. For us, it was, we needed to get out of that pastor's house because we stayed with him and his great big Great Danes. And we were newlyweds with Great Danes, and it stunk and it smelled. And we got into a healthy environment. We got our own place. But then we had to focus on something different than our situation. So what we started to do is lure others with the gospel. Rachel got to work at the day camp. I got to work at the church. And we just worked hard for the Lord. Remember, Rachel would come home and she had this one student that she just had a burden for. The young man, his mom didn't know what his sexual orientation was going to be, so she put naked pictures of guys and girls up in his room. Good idea, right? No. And so Rachel had a real passion for this young man and trying to help the mother. And so she started to lure them with the gospel, but also lift others up. See, if we just look and say, all I'm going to do is for people is just share the gospel, okay, that's wonderful. But we need to lift other people up as well. We need to invest into other people and help them. And boy, there were some people that we worked with, that we ministered with, who we know needed help. And so we decided, you know what, we're going to try to lift them up. Funny thing is, the more we tried to help lift them up, they lifted us up. And then sometimes you just have to live. See, some people, they don't live. They die in their situation. Here's what I mean by that. They just kind of become absorbed by the badness. And they don't live. And then lastly, linger with those of faith. See, what we did is we found other people that had the same faith we had. And we said, these are the people we're going to hang out with. These are the people we're going to spend time with. And by lingering with them, even though the situations were difficult, we started to really, we made some good relationships, had some fun, and linger with those of faith. Now, let's start reading here in Acts chapter 14. We're going to see all six of these things here in this passage. First of all, in verse 1, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue. Now, go ahead and throw that map up there if you could, Bo. They had traveled through some of their journey so far on their first missionary journey. We're talking about Paul and Barnabas. And they come to this Lycaonia. And this place is, they came to Iconium, which is right below Lycaonia, sorry. And here at Iconia, they preach both together in the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of Greeks, believed. Now, this is the amazing thing about Paul and Barnabas, as wherever they go, they find a way to preach to whoever they can have an opportunity to preach to help whoever they can help with the gospel. But, verse 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So now they face the adversity. Many believed, but now everybody's getting mad at them because of what they're preaching. Verse 3, a long time, therefore, they stayed there, abode there, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony into the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with the rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lies round about. So here's what happens. They face difficulty. What do? First thing they do is they look to the Lord. They continue to follow what the Lord wanted them to do. And that's the first thing we always have to do. But now, what was the second thing that they did? After they looked to the Lord, they located to a healthy environment. What was a healthy environment? A place where they were not trying to stone them. Sounds good, right? They stayed for a long time debating and arguing, and they located to a healthy environment. Listen, some of you have bad habits that you have, and you know those bad habits are prolonged by your environment. So you know what? Locate to a healthy environment. All right, everybody take, and if you can, reach back and pat yourself on the back, because this morning, you located to a healthy environment. You're here this morning in a healthy environment. Keep doing that. So they fled to Lystra and Derbe. Verse 7, and there they preached the gospel. What did they start to do? They're looking to the Lord. They locate to a healthy environment. And now what do? They lure others with the gospel. Nothing will distract you from your issues more than sharing the gospel with those who don't have it. If you don't believe me, just go try it. Go try it. It'll distract you from your problems. It'll give you a sense of, wow, I'm doing what I was made to do. In verse 8, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, fulfilling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. So here's what takes place here. There's a man who's crippled from birth. And they see this man that's crippled from birth. And they don't just look at him and say, "Oh, well, too bad for you." Paul looks at him and he sees that this man has faith. This man believes the power of your God can heal me. And he says, "Get up and walk." The man doesn't just get up. He jumps and leaps. Having never walked, he not only receives strength in his body to walk, and we see this all throughout Scripture. Jesus did it. Peter did it. Now Paul does it. When they heal somebody, the person's not only able to walk who had never walked, which is a feat all by itself. Balance. Learning how to use the muscles in your legs. They had never done it before. But now, they're leaping. They're jumping. This is extraordinary. When the people see that, you know, Paul and Barnabas, they saw a man who had a need, and they lifted him up. This is what we need to do. Find other people that need lifting up. You're going through a hard time, find somebody else going through a hard time, and lift them up. It helps. Paul and Barnabas, they lift this guy up. I mean, literally. He's jumping around. He's praising God. So now the people, they think, "Oh, you guys are gods." And they try to worship them. And Paul says, "No, don't worship us. We're just like you." And then he begins to explain to them who God is. Now, this is really interesting, and I don't have a lot of time to spend on this, but when Paul describes God, and the way he wants them to understand Jesus Christ is Paul describes to them Creator. We live in a day and age where Creator God is not understood. Back in that day, Creator God was the greatest God. Today, we try to say, "Oh, there's no creation, evolution." I'll tell you what, you want to understand Jesus Christ, you have to understand Creator. Colossians 1, Jesus Christ is the creator and sustainer of all things. By him all things were made, and by him all things consist. And the only way that Paul can help these people who had no other concept of God to grasp was, he says, "I want you to grasp this. There is the creator. He made all things. He's the one who makes it rain. He's the one that provides the harvest." And these people, they see that. And he's able to keep them from worshiping himself and get them to see that there is a God who is behind him. When we lift somebody up, it's not just meet a need that they have. It's you need to point them to the Savior. You help somebody and you don't point them to the Savior, you've done them a temporary service that will eventually die with them. But you help someone and share with them Jesus Christ, and you will give them something that will last an eternity with them. So now, look at verse 19. "And there came there certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium." So these Jews, they're following them, trying to get them in trouble. "Who persuaded the people and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. All right. Such a little blip in scripture here. Do you know how incredible this is? All right, first of all, you need to understand what stoning is. Stoning is taking rocks and throwing them at somebody until they are dead and buried underneath the rocks. Have you ever been hit by a ball? When I was in high school, I was a catcher, and I was in the gym catching a pitcher one day because I was in Michigan, and in Michigan, you can't practice outside because it's always snowing. And so we were inside, and I'm catching one of the pitchers, and I turned because the team had to run wind sprints, and I didn't because I'm catching the pitcher. So I turned to laugh at them, and I take my mask off, and I'm laughing at them. And I turn, and the pitcher pitched the ball. Caught me right, only strike he threw all year, and then he quit the team the next day. Hit me right here, split my nose open, broke my nose, and that was just a baseball. Could you imagine rocks? Rock after rock. And they're not just throwing it for sport. They have ill intent behind every single throw. Their goal is not just to maim. Their goal is to kill. And they leave Paul there. Now, it's interesting. The first time we met Paul, he was holding the coats for everybody as they stoned Stephen. And Stephen died. And Jesus stood up when Stephen died and gave him a grand entrance into heaven. You know what Jesus does this time? He's still sitting there. I'm not done with you, Paul. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, I've never been through anything quite as drastic as what Paul went through there. I've had people that don't like me. I've had people talk bad about me. I've had people sometimes try to inflict physical harm. I have never had anybody stone me and leave me buried under rocks for dead. The disciples are standing around because they're ready to take his body and go bury it. I've never been in that bad of a situation. So what does Paul do? Well, he's been looking to the Lord. He's located himself, and he'll have to do it again in just a minute. He'll locate himself to a healthy environment. He doesn't stay there and go, ha ha, look at me, I'm alive. Although he could have, and he probably would have been stoned again. And God would have said, get up, I'm still working with you. Listen, none of us have had it this bad. What do? We look to the Lord. We locate to a healthy environment. We need to make sure that we are sharing that gospel that he has given to us. And we're lifting up other people. So now, he goes to another city. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Those are the same towns that people left to stone them. I think it's, hey guys, I'm still alive. You can't stop this. Last week, the title of the message was An Unstoppable Agent. Talking about an agent of the gospel. This is just part two of that. Because can anyone stop the gospel of Christ? No. You can kill every single believer, and God will find a way to get his gospel into the hearts of people. Well, they kill Paul. They stone him. And that can't even stop him. Now, just let's be real for a minute here. Do you really want God to use you in this kind of way? Do you want to be part of the unstoppable spread of the gospel? Do you really? Because if you do, you might get stoned. You might get beat. Or even worse, you might get made fun of. Because for some of us, that's like the worst thing in the world, right? Do you know what they said about me? So they continue to preach. Verse 22, they confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. I mean, he's just been stoned, and what does he tell everybody else? Continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. Because here's what Paul did. Even though they killed him, he lived. And even though they try to stop your spread of the gospel, here's what you need to do. Get up and live. You know what makes a persecutor really happy? When you live persecuted. You know what really grinds them? When you live and you don't care about what they do. You ever had a bully? You ever seen a bully try to pick on somebody and the person doesn't let it affect them? The bully eventually gives up. Because someone who lives, it's no fun to torment them. You know what's fun? You know when it's fun? It's when it bothers you. You know what? Satan, he wants to do all he can to get your head to hang low. And as soon as he gets your head to hang low, he knows that you won't live. He knows you're just going to survive. And maybe there's a whole bunch of us here this morning, that's all we do in life, is we just try to survive 1 minute to the next. I want to tell you something. God's got a different plan for you. And that plan is he wants you to get out there and live. And that's what Paul's doing. He's confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them, continue in the faith. And he says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And there they sailed to Antioch, from where they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. They've come full circle. They're back to where they started now. When they were come, verse 27, and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and now he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and there they abode a long time with the disciples, because here's what they do, they lingered with those of faith. And that's what we need to do, is we need to linger with those who have faith. There's a few years back, I was struggling. A building had been donated under my care in Cassopolis, Michigan. It was the old Masonic Lodge, and the goal of it was to rehab the building, turn it into a temporary residence for people that were released from prison, and then in the back of the building, we were going to build 4 apartments, and for inmates, when they were released, they could go live there with their family to kind of get the family unit back together, and then in the back of the building, we were going to build several skill areas where they could learn how to be a plumber, an electrician, and all these different, do cement work, put windows in, put siding on, roofing, and we're going to teach all these skills. And so I was really excited about it. The building was donated, and then they offered me $20,000 to start building the apartments, and once I started building the apartments, the rest of the money was promised. I'm excited about it. So at the time, I was living in Niles, Michigan, and I went to the church there, and I said, hey, we've got this opportunity. This is awesome. I had a judge that was already meeting with me who wanted to see something like this happen. I mean, this is a huge opportunity. And they said, no, we won't accept it. And I needed to accept it not on my behalf. I had to accept it through the church. And they wouldn't do it. They said no. And it crushed me. And so I went through a little bout of self-pity. You know, woe is me. God had this awesome thing. You're doing these great things. And poor me. I said, not poor me, anything. And so I remember sitting there going, what am I going to do? Because spiritually at that moment, I was drained. And I went through a little bout of self-induced depression. You say, no, they did it. No, no, no. No one can ever drive you into depression. You drive yourself into depression. Your circumstances can't drive you into depression. You drive yourself into depression because you look to the depressing thing. And that, what does depression do? It pushes you down. If that's what I keep looking to, that's what I keep focusing on, I will be pushed down. And that's why we have to look to the Lord. And I started to look to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I know that you've got something else. Just show me. And the Lord gave me a really cool, really simple idea. He said, I want you to locate to a healthy environment. Now, I'm looking around going, well, I had a really cool thing. And so a guy called me up and said, hey, can you do coffee with me tomorrow morning? I said, sure. He brought a friend with him. While we're at coffee, I lead the friend to the Lord. A couple weeks later, the friend gets baptized. And I'm like, I'm going back to the coffee shop. That's a healthy environment. We started a Bible study there at the coffee shop. We started to lure others because we would sit around and talk about the gospel. There's a whole bunch of guys that every morning they go to the same coffee shop. They started coming and sitting by us and asking questions. And pretty soon we had 20 guys once a week that were meeting at the coffee shop. And only about 5 of them were from our church. We were luring others with the gospel. But then we decided, as we're sitting there and we're having a Bible study and we're praying and we're taking over this restaurant, the owner, it was a healthy environment because he's like, yes, bring me more clients. So we were bringing more people in. We got to start lifting somebody up. And so we targeted a guy who had recently had a stroke and he had some real bad physical problems. He had leukemia. And so we decided we're going to lift him up. And so as a group, these guys, 5 of them went to our church, 15, they just live in the community, they're listening to the gospel, some of them have received the gospel, and all of a sudden, they say, you know what, let's go help Mike out, Mike Niedermeyer. So they start going over to his house and doing his lawn for him and all this stuff, and I'm like, wow, they're lifting him up. And as they were lifting him up, they were sharing the gospel with him, and I'll never forget the day where Mike called me up and said, hey, Thad, can I come to your office? And he came into my office. And he's limping in with this cane because leukemia was getting bad. And he said, I need to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And Mike got saved that day. And then 3 weeks later, Mike died. And for the first time, this group went through a tough time. You know, at the funeral, we celebrated his life. But even better than that, we were able to give the hope that he was in heaven. You know what it did? It started to lift up other people to see that this could take place. And I looked at the guys and I said, listen, his death can't cause you to die as well. You got to live. Well, the bus ministry was dying. And so I looked at the guys. I said, we need the bus ministry to continue. I looked at them. I said, you're retired truck drivers. One of them used to drive Greyhound bus. I said, who is more qualified to run the bus ministry than you guys? They're like, but we're the most salty group of guys. I said, good, these kids are bad. Yell at them, get them into place. And so these guys started running the bus ministry, and the bus ministry went from about 5 or 6 kids. It was dying, almost dead. And we had a 44-passenger bus, and every Wednesday night, they'd pick up 44 kids. We had a church van. They started running the church van behind it so we could fit all the kids who were coming out. Because you know what they did? They lived. And then they drove me nuts because they lingered together. If I missed breakfast, not once a week, I made it once a week, Tuesday morning breakfast. But they're meeting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thad, where are you? We're having breakfast. I'm working, man. They lingered. Folks, this is what God wants for us. He wants us to take the cue. See, he doesn't give us this first missionary journey to look at it and go, wow, that's great, Paul. Good job, Barnabas. No, he wants us to look at it and say, wow, I can glean something from this. This can impact my life. There's a model here for me to follow. And you know what, folks? We start following a model like this. Guarantee you, God will do things in us that will change us and help us. He'll move his gospel forward with us. So I want to encourage you, look to the Lord. Locate a healthy environment. Lure others with the gospel. Lift someone up. Live and linger with those of faith. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much that your word, it's quick, it's powerful. And these aren't just stories. These are actual events that you've shared with us so we can be encouraged by them. And Lord, we can look to see, God, what will you do with me? How did others handle difficulty? Lord, I want to handle difficulty with the same dignity and grace. And so Lord, as we look at these things, I pray that each one of us will just be able to look at our own lives and say, God, how can this have an impact in my life? And Lord, especially for our graduates this morning, they may not have faced a lot of real difficult times, but they'll face more and more. And I pray, Lord, that they will learn lessons from this that will encourage them. And Lord, if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the very first thing they need to do right now is they need to look to the Lord. Because, Lord, there's nothing else on this list that they can do if they're not looking to the Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you've died for us, that you've given us yourself, and that instead of ourselves dying for our sin, you died for our sin, you took the penalty, you made the payment so that we don't have to. Lord, if anyone here will just trust in Jesus Christ and confess him as Lord of their life, you tell us that you will save them. And so, Lord, I pray that if anyone here has never trusted in you, that this morning they would do so. Lord, for those who are saved, that maybe, Lord, they're not handling their disappointments, their discouragement very well, Lord, I pray that they would just take an opportunity this morning just to call out to you and allow you, God, as they look to you, to show them things that they can do, locations where they can be healthy with the spread of the gospel. Lord, that they can share that wonderful gospel. They can lift other people up, that they can live, and that they can linger with other believers. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing an invitation song. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to invite you this morning to come and tell me that you want to trust him. I'd love to have you trust Jesus Christ this morning. It'd be the greatest thing you could ever do. And if you are saved and God has spoken to your heart, just do business with God this morning. Let him do a wonderful work. Let's stand together as we sing the song of closing.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your your name.
thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the creator, not only of this world, but of my faith, but of everyone who has faith in this room. You are that author. And Lord, I thank you that you are the finisher. Lord, you will bring us to the finish line. Lord, there are some right now that this race of life, it's been tough. There have been so many obstacles, so many burdens they've been bearing, so many griefs that they've been trying to overcome. And Lord, this morning, your name, the name of Jesus, is a strong and mighty name. In that name of Jesus, it provides hope and help. And Lord, help us, Lord, as we look to you, that you will continue to provide for each one of us the ability not only to get through life, but to really live this life with enjoyment, with peace, with strength. So now, Lord, to you we give all the glory, for you are the God of all gods. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would cause your face to smile upon us, that we would be blessed in every word and work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. The Lord bless you.